the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning we are going to speak for our sermon on the 25th anniversary of Immaculate Conception Academy. And I'd like to begin by first of all thanking the teachers, especially Mrs. Elizabeth Block, for many years of teaching, and also the sisters, the Congregation of Mother of God Sisters. We'd also like to thank Father Brendan. He was one of the pioneers here who came up to Minnesota back in the 80s. This was before I was consecrated the bishop. This was back, I think, 1989. Father Brendan had come and started helping me out in Omaha, and then he was resident here for the, length of time that he's been here, and then he got transferred, but Father Brendan helped lay the groundwork. I'd like to thank him too. There are a couple of things that come in my mind. First of all, I remember very clearly we received phone calls, I believe it was around Christmas time, that we needed the start of the school because of circumstances where it was no longer possible for the parishioners to send their children to the school they were attending. I can only smile back then. We had to come up with two sisters to come and start the school. And Sister Mary Agnes, she was visiting her family, especially her father was very sick at the time. She was visiting in Colorado Springs. So I told the sisters, when Sister Agnes, you pick her up at the airport, bring her to the church and tell her I need to talk to her. And this is kind of an example of the beauty of the religious life, of doing God's will. But Sister Agnes had been teaching our school in Omaha for quite some time, was well established. And you know, you get a bonding with your children. And so it was a sacrifice to have to tell her, you're not teaching in Omaha anymore, we're going to start a school up in Minnesota. But I have to laugh, she came to my office, I said, oh, how did your visit go with your family? She said, oh, fine, how's your dad doing? Well, he's hanging in there. I said, well, the reason why I'm talking to you is we need to start a school up in Minnesota. And she said, I've been thinking about that for a long time. That's a great idea. I said, we're going to start tomorrow. And she said, that's funny. I said, and you're leaving tomorrow morning to come with me and Sister Josepha. We're leaving tomorrow morning. She said, that's real funny. But she was willing to go. I'll tell you a real quick episode that I will never forget. That morning, when I'm driving out to the convent for Mass and I'm taking Sister Josette and Sister Agnes to up here to get things going, I came off the interstate on my way to the convent, and there's a station wagon parked along the side of the road, but it splashes on. So I stopped, rolled out the window, and there was a woman there, and I said, you having car trouble? She said, I got a flat tire, and I don't have a spare. I said, well, it's almost 7 o'clock and this next town near Persia does have a tire station. If you don't mind, I'll give you a ride to the town and you get your tire. She says, okay, so she gets in. We drive her into Persia. I go to the convent, have Mass, have a quick breakfast. We're driving back through Persia to get back on the interstate to come up here. And I see that woman standing along the side of the road in Persia. And I told the sisters, Sister Joseph, I said, that's the lady you just picked up this morning. I wrote a window down and I said, they didn't have your tire? She said, they didn't have any used tires the size that I needed. So after a little bit of talking to her, we went back in. I said, do you have any brand new tires? I said, brand new tires? Yes, we don't have any used tires her size. So I said, I'll just buy a new tire. She reached into her purse. I could tell she was poor. She had just dropped off her husband at work. And she's reaching, and I can see her purse out of the corner of my eye. She only has a $20 bill. I said, keep it for gas. So we gave the money to them. I said, hey, do me a favor. I got to get out to Minnesota very soon this evening. So if you can take care of this lady, get her tire trench and get home. And when I got into the car, I told the sisters, I said, you know, if we did it for the least of the brethren, we've done it for Jesus. No big deal. Now, I got back on Thursday, back to Omaha. visiting here and having his sister get this ball rolling for him back at the Stephen Academy. Long and short of it is, there's a couple, older couple, visiting from out of town. So we had a nice visit with them. They were just passing through, and they said, "Oh, Bishop, by the way, I want to give you this donation here." I felt it was pretty heavy, and so thank you. I just put it on my desk and visited a little bit longer and got going with the rest of the day. That evening, I was kind of organizing my desk, and I thought, "Oh, why do I sit here?" I opened up. There was gold coins. I said, "Well, that's really nice of them. I wonder what these are worth." So I looked it up. The value of the coins was 10 times the amount I paid for that woman's attire. 10 times. No, it was even more than that. It was 100 times, forgive me, 100 times more than that attire. Several thousand dollars. And I thought, you know, we got the 100 folk. You helped that lady out on Monday. Come Thursday, we got 100 times what we paid for that tire. So I had to tell the seminarians that, you know, he wanted to inspire 100 stories and this and that. So I told him about getting the 100 fold. One of the seminarians raises his hand. I said, "What do you want?" He said, "Bishop, I think you should give him more." He got more back. I said, "No, it doesn't work that way." But getting back to starting the school, to me, how important is Catholic education? Because we're instilling in the children, most importantly, the most important gift we can give children, and that's their faith. That firm belief in God and all that God has revealed that will help guide them for the rest of their life. I know that I would not be a bishop or priest or religious today were not for Sister Mary Grace. First and foremost, my parents. My parents were good Catholic parents. We prayed the rosary, wore the scapular. We made oftentimes Mass not just on Sundays, but first Fridays, holy hours, etc., etc. Visited the cemetery, prayed for relatives. My parents lived the Catholic faith. But after my parents, it was Sister Mary Grace, second grade teacher. And after that, Sister Juliana, my sixth grade teacher. The things they taught and what they did impressed me to make the person I am today. But most importantly, they instilled that faith, that firm belief in what God has revealed. And that's the most important gift you parents can give to your children. And a part of what you're trying to do is aided by the sisters. Whether your children go to catechism or go to a Catholic school, they need to have the faith instilled in them to guide them through life, especially in these times. We know how many occasions of sin are out there today. We have to be, as St. Paul said to Timothy in his epistle, be instant, in season, out of season, always exhorting, correcting, encouraging, and admonishing. Because your children, their souls are like a garden. And we can either plant virtue in it, or the weeds of vice will take over. And that's how important it is. The younger they are, the more impressionable they are. And we have to start at a very young age teaching them right from wrong, good from evil, God, His love for us, our purpose in life, to get to heaven. As our Lord says, what does it profit a man against the whole world if he loses a soul? The most important thing, parents, you provide for them food and shelter and clothing. You educate them so they can be adults and be responsible and make it on in life. Above all that other, all those other things is making sure they get to heaven. And I would especially say, parents, you got to be careful because you would not allow strangers to come into your house, especially people that are really, really low-life people to come into your house and try to teach your kids evil and sin. Of course you wouldn't do that. You'd bar the door. You'd repel them. How important it is that we be diligent, that we do not allow the evil come into our children's lives by the internet, by having unsupervised access to the internet, like phones and such like that. We have churches all over the country, all over the world. And I can't tell you the sad stories I hear about children losing their innocence because of neglect of parents supervising the internet or giving them a phone and they have unrestricted access to the internet. You know, we've had a boarding school in Omaha for many, many years now. And it got to the point, maybe 15 years ago, I just said, we're not going to have the kids have cell phones. If they want to call home, there's a landline there. They can call home anytime they want. But one day, it just occurred to me, I told Father Gronenthal, check everybody's cell phones. And unfortunately, one of the cell phones had some messages and pictures texted from somebody out of state. They were very, very modest. And I said, get all the boys together. I said, listen, if you can't look it up your cell phone, then you can't be here because I can't be responsible. We can't control everything that all of you watch. So if you can't look it up your cell phone, let me know. I'm going to buy your ticket. You're leaving tonight. I'm going to send you home. If you want to be here, then you have to turn your cell phones in. And when you do want to call home, that's fine. You got the landline there, or if you use your cell phone, it's just a call home and that's it. Because I can't be responsible for all these boys. Same thing for our border girls. Sometimes we have as many as 30 border girls. You can't keep track of everything. But for you parents, the occasions of sin are so available, you got to be on your guard. You know, all that we try to do insofar as mass and sermons and all the sacraments that we try to provide for them and all the education will go right out the window if your children are exposed to immodest and pure content. It could be forming bad habits that might be the cause of their damnation. If I didn't love you, I didn't love your kids, I wouldn't be saying what I'm saying. It's a hard saying. You want your children to be responsible. You want to teach them responsibility. But as they are very, very young, and unfortunately they might come across something that they shouldn't see, it's an uphill battle after that. There are filters. There are barriers that you can put on cell phones that they can't access this stuff. But do whatever you need to do because this is a very serious battle. We wouldn't allow people to come in and run our kids off the street. We've got a lot of creeps out there trying to prey and attack children this day and age. But getting back to Catholic education, kind of go off into a tangent here. You know how important is Catholic education that Pope Pius XI wrote an encyclical. Young children are the future of the church. They're the future of society. That's the reason why Satan wants to grab your kids and destroy them. I'd also have to say this too. I know there are probably circumstances and situations where parents have no other choice but send their kids to public school, but I tell you this, the public schools today are not the public schools when you were in school, but even when we were in school, when I was in school back in the 60s, I went one year to public high school, it was very, very perverse. Very immoral. Drugs, immorality, violence. The teachers were godless. If it was that way in the 60s, what is it today? One of our parishioners, Norma Steffes, she's a teacher, substitute teacher, but she's a refugee from communist Cuba. She knows the evils of communism. She said, Bishop, you won't believe it. When I asked a substitute in public high schools today, they got posters on the board of known communists holding these people up as if they're some type of someone to look up to, as if they're some great humanitarian leader. What utter indoctrination and brainwashing these kids are getting. Many of these teachers are either atheists or agnostics or evolutionists. Certainly they're not Catholic. Certainly some of them are not even Christians. Some of them are socialists and maybe even outright communists. especially in the higher education, universities and colleges. How many children have lost their faith because their faith was not well established, and they go to a school and you got some man or woman there, professor, so educated, knows all these initials after the name, and they lose their faith. What a great tragedy. So we can't be careful enough. But you know, as we were saying, the most important thing is instilling the faith in your children. And you know, after they become 18, 19, 20, they're on their own. So that's the reason why we want to do all that we can, as much as we can, when they're young. I've been teaching in Omaha. We've had a school in Omaha since 1987. And it's in the back of my mind, I teach the high school, but when I teach them theology class, I'm going to give it all that I got. These kids, when they leave here, they're going to be able to defend their faith. They're going to know how to prove the existence of God. They're going to have to be able to know how to prove the divinity of Christ with facts and evidence and the truth. And that there is only one true church that Christ established, that's the Catholic Church. Because they know when they get out of school, their education and the faith is going to probably not be home much. Maybe what they get out of a sermon or whatever. But how important it is that we give it all that we got. And we make the impression on them now. And we be enthusiastic about teaching them, because children are going to feed off of how we educate them. But education, how important is that Catholic education when they're young? It'll guide them for the rest of their life. So on this 25th anniversary of your school, Immaculate Conception Academy, we'd like to thank all the teachers, Father Brendan, the sisters, Mrs. Block. I'd like to thank all of you Catholic parents for your help and support for the school. And also we'd like to just reiterate the importance of Catholic education. And even if your kids can't make it to school, you're homeschooling them, try to get them to get to catechism. Because, like I say, what they learn is what they're going to take with them the rest of their life. That's going to be their guide for the rest of their life. So we thank God, we thank our Blessed Mother for the school here. Thank our Blessed Mother for all of our schools. As you know, sometimes sisters, the Sisters of the Mother of God, get switched around. And why are we doing that? Because we need to establish schools everywhere. We have 13 schools now established. Starting a new school this coming year in Florida. Last year we had one in Alabama, where Sister Agnes and Sister Josepha have been, in Arkansas and up in Canada. So Catholic education is a very important thing, and this is what we want to do in order to provide a Catholic education everywhere. One last consideration. When Vatican II came along, they not only changed the Mass, they not only changed the consecration of bishops in 68, Novus Ordo, Modern Mass 69, but they did all that they could to infiltrate us to destroy the Catholic Church. And they did not forget to attack the religious life. Religious were encouraged at Vatican II, experiment, try something new, modify your habits, don't wear a habit at all. You don't have to live in community, you can go get an apartment and live an independent life. And try to be more involved with material and social and worldly things. I was just reading yesterday, across the street from our church in Omaha are the Servite sisters. They were the sisters who taught me when I was in Chicago, the Servite sisters. The religious life in the United States is down in the last 50 years, 74%. 74%. Whereas there were 113,000 sisters teaching back in 1965, by 1995, teaching sisters, there were less than 13,000 left. They lost 100,000 sisters because of the liberalizing and secularizing and destroying the religious life. What a great tragedy that is, because the sisters were the backbone of Catholic education in this country. The sisters have a vow of poverty. They're not in it for money. They're in it for the love of God, to save their souls and to save their children's souls. And their Catholic education was par excellent. It was wonderful. And how Catholic education really excelled. And that's because God's grace was there, and they had access to the Mass and the sacraments and the teachings of the Church. What a great tragedy it is, the loss of vocations. How many schools, I mentioned to you before in the past, I went to a Catholic school, the Servite Sisters taught, there was 1,000 kids in that grade school. We had 500 families in our parish, and we were one of many parishes. 1,000 kids, the school closed down, the churches closed down. We went from some Holy Founders, when Vatican II came along, we were looking for something more conservative in St. Peter and Paul, the Sisters of St. Casper. Those sisters, very good sisters, that school closed down. One after the other, these schools have closed down. So many kids are not getting Catholic education because there's no longer sisters there. They're talking about across the street, the Servite Sisters is only, there are only like two original sisters there that began that school. And they're come to a time where there's just all secular teachers teaching, no religious at all. So we got to be grateful for sisters' vocations, because after the priest, a lot of things the priest don't have time for, the sisters pick up the slack. And that's the reason why I tell our priests, we're limited on our priests. We have like 60 priests working with me, but we want to maximize the work that we do. The things that we can only do, Mass, sacraments, last rites, these are things that we want the priests to do. The other things that the sisters can do, let them take care of that, pull up the slack. We're very limited in what we can do, and let's do the things that only we can do as priests. I tell the priests, when it comes Sunday or holy days, you better be ready to burn yourself out. And I exaggerate. I says, if you sleep from Monday to Saturday, I don't care. But come Sunday, you better be ready to travel and do all the things we need to do, because we have younger priests coming up the ranks, and these places are going to be filled. We need to lay the groundwork for these other places. What starts out to be a mission grows into a very big parish. This has been our case so many times around the country. So I talk too much, forgive me for that, but we want to once again thank God and Our Lady for the wonderful school you have here, thank all the teachers, and thank all you Catholic parents. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.